Welcome, everybody, to another exciting episode of Legends in the Dark, where, in the silence, we exist. My name is Jay.
And I am Leslie.
How are you doing today, Leslie?
Not bad. I'm really excited to get back to our regular stories.
Thank God. Just kidding. It was a weird departure, honestly, to do the outings, but
It was fun.
It was fun, definitely, yeah, but it was kind of like, trying to figure out how to, like, do an episode on just the one thing instead of our normal one-story each deal.
I don't know how it would have worked if we didn't get as much evidence as we did, because even then, like, the last episode was a good 45 minutes about, and usually we try to get about 30 minutes, but we had so much to talk about.
Funky Cold Patina.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's nice to want to hear different stories, because lately I just been sitting around, and when someone says, hey, do you have a creepy story, I'm like, yes, I do. But now that we're kind of getting out of the October season, a lot of people are like, oh, I can't wait for Christmas, and oh, I got this, and oh, I gotta start planning this, and holiday party. And I think people are now so focused going to be on that, it takes away from, oh wait, I want to do another ghost hunt, wait, I want to go and hear about this story, or I want to go to a haunted house. And it's kind of sad. So I'm kind of sad that October is kind of officially over. I'm excited for the holiday season, but I'm glad that you and I have this time where we can just come together and be like, guess what story I just found?
Scary story time.
Or even creepy story. Like, I don't know if I'm going to have many, many ghost stories, but I do have a couple creepy stories I like.
Also good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and speaking of stories.
Yes, I understand. We had a shout out by...
Yes, Ashley, I don't know if I should say the whole name, but someone on our Facebook page reached out, and her name is Bree, or Bri, B-R-E. Is that Bree or Bri?
I'm going to say Bree.
Bree. And she sent us a link to, I guess, her hometown legend, which is called The Ghost of Florence Grange in, I might pronounce it wrong, Ogden, Utah. O-G-D-E-N. Is that Ogden? Ogden.
Pretty sure there's only one way you could really say that. It's Ogden.
Ogden? Okay. Well, she sent me this story, and you want to hear it real fast? Because I don't think it was enough for me to do a full 15 minutes on, but it's enough to, like, I kind of like the legend.
Lay it on me.
Okay, here we go. So this information I'm reading, she sent me it from A Link to Dead History, so I read a little bit from there. But I'm honestly getting the information condensed from the Ghost of Florence Grange Facebook page. So basically it says, Flo is best known ghost in Ogden, Utah. Florence Grange was 15 years old when she died in 1918. There are conflicting stories about her death. The most popular one involves her dating a boy that her parents did not approve of. To see him, she would sneak out at night and wait for him to come pick her up. On the night of December 29th, as she was waiting by the curb for a beau, a car approached. Thinking it was him, she stepped out into the road. The driver of the car, not expecting someone to be there, accidentally struck and killed her. Another story is reportedly told by her great niece is that she choked to death on a piece of Christmas candy. And then on Dead History, it was talking about how she actually most likely died from influenza, because this was in 1918, right after World War I, where there was a really big influence of influenza in Europe and in America from returning soldiers. I was also reading that in Ogden, it got so bad that they wouldn't let people into the city unless they had a clean bill of health, like a paper saying that they were clean, from their doctors.
Oh.
So that was interesting. Flo's grave sits in Ogden City Cemetery, and it is said that her cemetery, or her gravesite, is located on the north side of 20th Street. I don't know where any of this is. That runs between Adams and Monroe. As the urban legend goes, if you park with your car facing her grave and flash your lights three times, Flo's ghost will think that you're her boyfriend finally coming to get her. She arises from behind the stone as a green light, and as she approaches you, she takes the form of a young spirit girl.
Creepy.
Yeah, creepy.
Yeah. I'm like, don't get in my car, spirit girl.
I wonder, like, this is not I wonder if Bree ever did it. Bree, you gotta let us know if you've ever done it. But, and if you haven't, I'm not saying go and do it, because that would creep me out. I think I would be one of those people who would be like, oh, yeah, nothing will happen. Okay, let's go do it.
This legend's stupid, you guys. Let's just go home.
Let's just go home. And then, like, you'll be in the car, like, okay, here goes. One light flash. Two light flash. Oh, let's just go home now.
Just put your hand on their hand. It's like, no, we don't need to do that third flash. Thanks.
But it's an interesting ghost story, because it kind of reminds me about Resurrection Mary in Chicago, where she's a ghost who hitchhikes back to supposedly her grave or her house, depending on the version. Mm. I really like that, Bree. I hope you send us some more stuff, but thanks for sending that into the Facebook page.
Thank you very much, Bree. We appreciate the message.
Oh, yeah. The stuff. And it was fun.
The thing in it.
Yeah, it was a fun read. You mean the story?
Yeah, that. The story, the thing with words that conveys information. That thing.
I was the one having a problem with my words earlier until I got my coffee in me.
But now I'm doing it on purpose because, you know, I'm just whimsical like that.
Well, that was, it's a fun little nugget of a ghost story. But tonight, we're kind of getting off the ghost stories, semi.
Sort of.
And we're going to...
Curses!
Curse you.
We kind of went in two different directions there, but...
I know, I did more of a once upon a time evil queen. Oh, curse you, Mary Margaret.
Yeah, I went in a totally different direction.
You ever seen Once Upon a Time?
Yes, I've seen Once Upon a Time. I kind of gave up. I kind of gave up on the show after, like, I feel like they kind of jumped the shark on, like, the last within a few seasons, and I was like, okay.
They jumped the shark because it was one of those things where, why am I watching this? Oh, because it's Robert Carlyle. Hello, Robert Carlyle. Roar.
I
totally discovered him in a show from the 90s called Hamish Macbeth. And he plays a police constable in Scotland. Mm. Oh my god, I love it. Anyway, that's a different tangent, but
anyways.
I love Robert Carlyle.
But yeah, I think with that show, I kind of gave up when they were like, oh, so...
Oh, you mean, spoilers, you mean when they got to the Black Swan?
Yeah, that yeah, one. I was like, okay.
Well, I think I enjoyed it, but I think they could have gone a different way than doing it where... It's weird because it got so pigeonholed, because it literally was first episode, we're going here. Mm-hmm. And the next episode, or within the first episode, it's, wow, it's been 2 years and we don't remember what happened. Or it's been 6 months, we don't remember what happened. Now the whole season is going to be about what happened. Which, it kind of got to the point where...
Why were all these people losing all their memories all the time?
I know, you know, if I was a witch... Or if I was a sorcerer like Rumpelstiltskin, I'd be like, you know, can I have one of these things where I can just always remember my memories? Because, it feels like I can protect my heart, and it feels like we got half the other people don't have magic, so is there a spell out there that I can just have my memory? Like, you know, you ever hear about Harry Potter? They have this thing where you can put your memories in.
Yeah.
And then they kind of did it with her because they had the dream catcher, and that's where she kept everyone's memories. But I was like...
What I think was funny, though, is, like, she's, like, this evil witch, right? Well, quote-unquote evil witch, because, like, she kind of got off the evil thing for a little while and then kind of went back or something like that. I don't remember.
Who are you talking about? Evil Queen?
Yeah, that one.
Okay, yeah, she somehow separated her evil self with her good self.
Unimportant. The point I'm trying to make is, if I was an evil witch... I feel like I would have greater ambition than just being, like, the mayor of some podunk little town in the middle of nowhere. I'm just saying.
But the thing is because she wanted to be queen, so being mayor is...
She wants to be queen
is,
of this tiny little thing.
Well, it's like, just of her kingdom.
Kingdom. I don't know. Just, it's whatever.
You know what? Okay, I'm so sorry, everyone. I know this is a tangent. This is not Once Upon a Time podcast, which I totally would listen to if they
that's
had
That's Leslie's
one.
Other podcast.
I know. That's my other podcast coming in 2020. No...
Not really.
Okay, I'm so sorry, but I was so excited about this because I basically love reading fan fiction. And so I love my Belle and Rumpelstiltskin because I love Robert Carlyle. But the thing is, and now I'm on Hamish Macbeth fan fiction. But the thing is I totally had an idea that at the end of the series where they were like, okay, well, the main woman, I forgot her name, but she didn't want Emma. I forgot the actress's name. She didn't want to be in the series anymore, but they still did another season, and they did it from the point of view of Henry, and they were basically rebooting the whole series, which, I mean, probably would have worked if the whole premise wasn't the same premise as the last 4 or 5 seasons of getting transported to a land without magic and stuff like that. I was talking to a friend. I said, you know what would have been a better storyline is if they did his like love interest instead of being a fairy tale character was just a normal person, and somehow that town, like there's a real town somewhere, and they get transported to Storybrook Land or Enchanted Forest or whatever it's called, fairy tale land, and it's basically regular people trying to come to terms that there's actually a fairy tale land in other lands. Because I thought that would have been enough of a twist where I would have kept watching, but watching it, I was like, this is exactly the same thing.
And then Rumpelstiltskin and the Evil Queen perform the fusion dance together and go Super Saiyan and then get in their giant mech robot and the whole world is destroyed.
Exactly, that's how you should do it. But
exactly. I didn't even watch the last series.
I mean, I love Robert Carlyle, but I couldn't even watch it.
So, I would watch that anime.
You watch that anime. Oh, anyway, I guess we should get back into what this podcast is really about. So Robert Carlyle.
Leslie's fan fiction obsession. That's what this podcast is apparently about. Leslie, do you have a story for me today or not?
Yes. Okay, so it's my turn. And we're doing curses.
We are doing curses.
My story. I got this idea from, it was actually two places. Unsolved Mysteries. And if you watch the 1990s TV show Beyond Belief, they actually did this story in Beyond Belief.
Which one had Robert Stack?
Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah.
So
Ultra Magnus himself. It's Transformers. It's not like a weird thing that is inappropriate for podcasts, just so everybody knows. Anyways, go on, Leslie.
So my story today is The Cursed Dead Man's Chair. Dun, dun, dun.
Bum, bum, bum.
The story, I heard about it first from Unsolved Mysteries, and I'm so sorry I didn't write down which season it was because I was watching it on Amazon and they're out of order.
You should be sorry. You should apologize to all our listeners right now.
Sorry, listeners. And Beyond Belief, they told a story, and I was listening to this podcast called Beyond Belief, and it's 5 friends who basically rewatch the show and they guess which ones are fake and which ones are true. Just like the show. That was the premise of the show. And they got to the story, and I was like, oh, you know what? That sounds like the story from Unsolved Mysteries, but it's really different. So it must be fake. Well, it turns out it was true. Now, I don't know if there's another cursed chair that Beyond Belief used, but this is the only one I know. So I'm kind of going to describe what Beyond the Belief said the curse was about, and then what I watched on Unsolved Mysteries and read about on like Wikipedia. So Dead Man's Chair, in Beyond Belief, in the show, the chair is bought by a rich man who sits in it and slowly begins to lose his money while others, friends and workers, sit in the chair and die. During the show, the 5-minute segment, the history showed that Napoleon himself sat in the chair before his battle with Waterloo. A chair with a similar story is the Bugsby's Stoop Chair or the Dead Man's Chair.
That you were telling me about.
Yeah, so basically what's happening is they called it in Beyond Belief the Hooded Chair. So that could be a real one. But I think they based it off of what's called the Bugsby Stoop Chair. So here's the story of that one. In 1702, Thomas Bugsby murdered his father-in-law.
That's the one I know. Okay.
That's the one you know? Yeah. Bugsby was arrested, tried, and condemned to death. Now, the legend varies. But the most popular is that Bugsby was drinking in his favorite chair when he was arrested. Upset, he cursed the chair, which was basically that no one would ever sit in his chair. And when he was hung, it was just opposite of the pub that held this chair. The accounts of the deaths of those who sat in the chair include, one, a Canadian airman during World War II who sat in the chair and then never returned from the bombing mission, a bombing mission, which, to be fair, it was World War II. That was a risk. But then next, there was a chimney sweep who sat in his on his lunch break. And this one was on Unsolved Mysteries where, like, in the pub, they have, like, a little rope going over the chair's arm so no one will sit in it. And he took it off and he's like, I'm going to sit in here for my lunch. And
Chim Chim true indeed.
Yeah, and then it showed that he actually fell off. After lunch, he went back in to sweep the chimney and he fell off the roof and died. Then they were talking about a motorist who had a fatal crash that he sat in it. And I guess no one warned them. And then he got back in his car and ran into a tree.
Sorry, that wasn't funny. But it's just like, he just took off and just hit a tree like immediately afterwards.
Well, it's weird, but it's saying that like within about a couple hours for some of these. And then, the pub owner was like, okay, this is too dangerous. I'm going to put it down in the basement. And
Segway? Sort of. And this is you know my take on things that are haunted and why people allow them to continue existing. You know, this house is haunted. Burn it down. This chair is haunted.
Or at least cursed.
Hack it up into firewood, throw it in the furnace. Why are these things still around?
Well, oh my gosh, you won't believe where it's at now. So basically, the pub owner was like, okay, I'm going to put it in the basement. And so he puts it in the basement, or off into the storage corner. It wasn't really clear, but basically it was out of the public's way. And then it says that this delivery person came in, making a delivery. And it's not, in Unsolved Mysteries, it's on purpose that he sits down. And some accounts I read online, it said that people have fallen. Like, there was a maid that was cleaning some storage, and she tripped over, like, something and fell into the chair. And then, like, a delivery man, he didn't know it was the cursed chair, and he just got tired and sat down. So, like, there's accidental sitting. Why is this so funny to you?
It's just, she tripped and accidentally fell in the cursed chair.
Yeah, and then she died.
And then died. I'm sorry, that's...
Well, of course, it's legend, so it's one of those legend goes, this is what happened.
Yeah, if it's allegedly, like, that's hilarious. I'm sorry, I'm just gonna say that. You trip and accidentally fall in the cursed chair, and then you die. Wah, wah,
wah, wah. You're so mean. Okay, so even when the owner would rope the chair off, people still sat. Even when he hid the chair, people still sat. This chair was just to the point where nothing the owner did. So in 1978, the pub donated the chair to the Thirsk Museum, which hung the chair against the wall high enough where no one would ever sit in it again.
They must really love this chair because nobody could ever seem to have parted with it for any reason. It's like, the guy's like, I'm going to put this in the basement. I'm not going to just burn it because it's apparently causing all these problems. I'm just going to stick it in the basement, pray that nobody like accidentally trips and falls into it.
So I remember in the Unsolved Mysteries, Robert Stack is standing in the museum. And I don't actually know if it was the real museum or just like one that they kind of made. But if it was a real museum, which I have a feeling it was, there is behind him, there is a chair that is like it's probably a good eight feet up.
And it's at an angle too, right? Isn't it like kind of like...
You know what's weird is in the show, it looks like it's just flush. Like the back is flush with the wall. So it looks like it's just a regular standing wooden chair. But there was some pictures where it looks like the chair is tilted forward.
God, do you think that people tried to like climb up there and actually still try to sit in the chair?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe that's why. Because as some pictures I saw, it looked like it was tilted forward. So it looked like if you would sat in it, you would slip off. Mm. But what happens if like maybe animals, like birds or cats? Do they save animals?
A pigeon flies in just like, ooh, ooh. Dies.
You're just having way too much fun with this cursed chair.
It's a ridiculous curse is what it is. It's like the most ridiculous. I mean, first off, a drunkard just says like, no, you're gonna sit in this chair again. It's the scurvy.
It's the Sheldon Cooper of the 1700s.
Right, this is my spot. Nobody sits in my spot. But no, it's like...
I'm just imagining Sheldon Cooper in the 1700s.
I don't think it would work. Oh, God. The germs.
Oh, God. That
was but now it's like, so I'm thinking like... If the tear is flush against the wall and somebody still tries to like climb up a sentence, that is basically Darwinism at its best.
Well, I'm just thinking that like beyond belief, they did it where like this hooded chair was oh, Napoleon sat in it and he lost at Waterloo. Whereas like when you read the history of this chair, it's actually a really cool legend of like, ooh, can we have a beginning of where it happened? Mm-hmm. We have a reason why it might happen. Yeah. We have these accounts of what happened. And then like you come in and you're like, why aren't we just burning this chair again?
I don't know. Why don't we just hacking this thing up into splinters and just toss it in the furnace?
And I'm like, no. They solved the problem. They put it on the wall. And it's like, wait, did they solve the problem? Because why is it tilted? Like,
or is it killing massive amounts of pigeons and cats? Who knows?
Oh, yeah. But yeah, that is Dead Man's Chair, or also known as Bugsby's Stoop's Chair.
Or Bugsby's Spot. Yeah.
And I should mention, I'm sorry, I didn't say this was somewhere in England this museum is, in the Thrift Museum.
Oh, that's why nobody ever got rid of it. You know, they were like, hey, this is such a lovely chair, I'd hate to get rid of it. Even though it does cause massive amounts of death and pain and misery, but it's so lovely.
Grandmother was English.
Some prim and proper, all dressed up. It was such a lovely chair. Look how much love and time and it was put into the craftsmanship of this chair. I could not bear to part with it. We'll just put it in the basement and hope the maid doesn't accidentally sit in it.
But there was a murderer's chair.
Is it? Oh, pish posh. I'm not a murderer. What are you trying to say? I murder that. I have this chair. I can't have nice things.
Well, no, I'm not saying you can't have nice things. I'm just saying maybe we should...
Bollocks.
I'm just saying maybe we should get rid of it.
Good day, madam. I'm not talking to you anymore. Good day. Oh, I will keep my death chair. Maybe I'll get lucky and all the pigeons will sit in it.
Oh,
bollocks of little rats. There they are.
Give me a moment. Hold on. I'm crying.
Oh, God save the Queen! Hope she doesn't sit in this chair.
Oh, now we're going to get some emails from England. Oh my gosh. Okay, so, but anyway, that's the end of my story.
That's the end of her story.
This is the end of the story, so,
I almost killed Leslie.
A kind of, like, the cursed chair almost got someone else. Oh, okay, hold on, I gotta wipe my eyes.
Apparently you can't even talk about it.
I know.
Oh. First rule about Bugsby Spot, don't talk about Bugsby Spot.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Okay, so that was my cursed chair. I guess it was not as spooky as I thought it was going to be.
More hilarious than anything else. And it was funny the other day. I was actually just thinking, like, I wonder if there are any hilarious curses. Like, just curses that just not really causes anything bad to happen, but just, like, just mischief. Like, oh, you wear these cursed sneakers or something and you just trip all the time. You're like, fall on your butt. I don't know.
But now that you say it, that it's like, this curse is basically, can we get rid of the chair by like, you know,
destroying it,
putting it in a church, maybe? Like,
reducing it to ash.
And then I'm just thinking like, no, put it on the wall. And then you're like, wow.
Put it in the basement. What did I tell you?
Not until I said it out loud does that, like, yeah, that is kind of ridiculous.
It's the British way. Everything makes sense until you say it out your mouth.
I can't say anything because my grandmother was born and my mom was born in England. But like, it just reminds me how you said that. Well, I can't get rid of that. It's like, oh God. I just remember all the stuff my mom and my grandmother have. and I can't say anything because I have her pictures
but,
here.
Yes, but if those pictures were cursed...
Oh, I would be getting rid of them.
Yes, they'd be on the fireplace. They'd be like,
yes, but
die,
it just makes
die,
me
die.
Think, I wonder if that really happened. Like, well, we can't get rid of it. It's still a chair. I mean, it's still good.
It's a perfectly good armchair.
Anyway, so...
A little spit and polish.
don't get started again. Okay, so what? So that's mine. Mine's done. Mine's done.
she's done. Jay's turn.
Jay's turn.
All right. I've been having too much fun here. Mm-hmm. So my story today is about...
What's your curse?
The Dybbuk box.
Oh, I'm glad I went first because this one is this one is scary to me. I've seen so many videos about it and read about it online, and I can't really take the whole episode of Zach Bryan's artifact show. Yeah, it's artificial though. But I can't take that seriously.
Waves and waves of his own men.
Oh, like Zach Bryan again?
Yes. The Dybbuk box was an item originally put up for sale on eBay by a man named Kevin Manis back in September of 2001. It's moved around quite a bit. It was also sold to a Losif Nietzsky, who at the time was a college student, in Missouri. Nietzsky put the box on sale to Jason Haxton, who was the director of the Museum of Osteopathic Medicine at A.T. Still University. Haxton wrote about his experiences with the mysterious wine cabinet in a book called The Dybbuk Box. Later on, Zach Bagans, who some of us may know from Ghost Adventures, purchased the box from Haxton. So those are the places it's moved around, and now we go into a little bit of detail of what happened with each person. Well, first, the box is also thought to be haunted, and there are a lot of stories for these people who about the paranormal happenings involving the box. Most of them come from the original owner, which was Kevin Manis. Now, for those of you who are wondering, what is a Dybbuk? A Dybbuk in Jewish mythology is a malicious spirit who is thought to be the lost soul of a dead person. Instead of going to heaven, it is usually trapped inside of an object until someone helps release the spirit. It comes from the Hebrew word meaning to cling. We start with Kevin Manis. Kevin Manis, who bought the cabinet. First off, I was saying the cabinet, when they say the wine cabinet, it's basically just one of those old boxes where you store the bottles and glasses and things you'd take on, I guess, a little wine trip or something like that.
Yeah, if it's the one that I've seen on an artist on Bagans show, it's a little almost chest light. It's like a cask? Is that what it's called?
It's like a big wooden box, basically.
Yeah. And it's very plain.
Yeah, there's not a lot in that particular box. I think when I was reading this, there was one golden goblet, one, I think it was a candle holder that had little tentacle legs things or something like that. There was a dried rosebud, and I think that was it, actually. There was not a lot in this the wine cabinet Dybbuk box. So Kevin Manis bought the cabinet from an estate sale of a woman who was originally from Poland, who died at the age of 103. Go her, she made it.
Wow, 103.
The granddaughter of the deceased would not let him return it because this is some old family heirloom. It's probably got sentimental value. Maybe I won't buy this after all. They would not let him return it.
But if he can't return it, then that means that he already bought it. So it's not like he picked it up and said, hey.
Well, he bought it and then decided, oh, maybe I shouldn't take it because it's a sentimental value. It's her grandmother's. Maybe she might want to keep it or something like that. Don't look at me like that. I'm just reading what I wrote down.
It's just suspicious.
And she said that her grandmother, the granddaughter says her grandmother had kept the box stashed away and made sure that nobody had access to it.
That's weird.
Yes. Kevin Manis took it to his furniture refinishing shop and put it in the basement. He left the shop one day to go on an errand. Later on, got a call while he was out from a frantic salesperson who worked at his refinishing shop, who was saying that someone was in the shop swearing and smashing things.
Oh, that's creepy.
Manis returned to his shop to find that all the lights in the basement had been broken, and the room was filled with a stench of cat urine.
Ooh. Ooh, no. Ooh, it's creepy.
So the employee, that particular employee left and never came back.
I would be out. I just had my pay, I'm out.
Whatever went down that day, they were not having another day of that.
Wow, how creepy is that? Because I don't know about you guys, but I've been in jobs like that, and I have a job where I mean, we all leave at 5 o'clock, but sometimes I wait for my husband because we carpool. So I'll wait, and it's creepy when no one is around.
And if you hear something, you're like, okay, who's making that noise?
Yeah, and
we like, have a cleaning person here.
Oh, like this week, one of the women I work with, like her and I were sitting together, and how our desks are faced, we both face the door, but our monitors are up, so we kind of, it kind of blocks the door. Also, it's kind of so that way we don't get distracted when people come in and out. And when we were sitting there and we were talking, all of a sudden the lights went off and then on and then it dimmed. And we're like, whoa, what is that?
And you heard a voice go, get out.
No, we looked to the door where the lights are, and it's the one, there's another woman, a coworker. She's like, oh, it's just, it's too light in here. I'm like, it's 5 o'clock. Go home. Stop playing.
Or you heard a voice say, fire, leave immediately.
Right? But it's like, she did that like two times, which, I mean, she's a sweet lady, but I was like, stop it. You're scaring me. And I wasn't even kidding. I was like, stop, like, scaring me. Because the whole floor would go dark, and it's like, so I can't imagine hearing that and then going downstairs smelling that and then seeing broken light bulbs.
And then there's nobody there.
And there's no one. Like, who was swearing? I would have thought someone was there and I would have been out. I would have called the police and I would have called the owner and be like, I'll wait outside, but I'm not.
Like, I don't have any stock in this place. I'm out.
I know. I'm going back in. I'm not going back in.
That happened. Kevin decided, instead of refinishing the box, he was just going to clean it. Decided, I'm going to give this to my mother as a birthday gift. So his mother was meeting him at his shop so they could both go to lunch together for her birthday. And that was when he gave her the box. So Manis left to make a phone call. And while he was doing that, an employee, one of his employees came up to him saying that something was wrong with his mother. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, no.
He comes back, finds his mother sitting in a chair, expressionless, crying, and unresponsive.
Oh, no.
They went to the hospital, found out that she had had a stroke. Like, literally, in that instance, boom, she had a stroke. She had temporarily lost the ability to speak, and she was only able to speak using a little spell board type thing. So when Manis asked her how she was doing, she spelled out, no gift. When Manis said he had already given her a gift, she emphasized, hate gift.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. So he gave the box to his sister, who returned it within a week.
He just can't get rid of this thing.
He gave it to his brother and his brother's wife. They returned it within 3 days.
Why does he keep giving it away?
Well, there's another thing. So the brother and his wife, his brother complained of a very strong jasmine smell. The brother's wife complained of the cat urine smell. Two different smells in the 3 days they had this box. So then he gives it to his girlfriend.
Oh, no.
It's true love. So the girlfriend says, you need to sell this.
Right away.
So he then sold the box to a middle-aged couple. Later on, found the box, sometime later, in front of his shop. Oh, never mind. It says 3 days later, finds the box in front of his shop with a note on it saying, this has a bad darkness.
From the couple he sold it to. Oh, wow.
So then, finally, he just took it home. It's like, yes, that's right. You deal with this box now. Nobody else wants it.
Oh, he wasn't even taking it home. It was just in his shop and he just kept giving it away?
Yeah, just kept trying to give it away, then sold it, and then just maybe people just kept giving it back to him. So then, as he had the box at home, he began having nightmares in which he would be dreaming that he's walking with a close friend. When he turns to look in the friend's eyes, he sees something evil looking back at him. It doesn't really describe like what that actually means. It's just something that just he doesn't recognize as the person that he knows. Then the friend turns into a gruesome demonic hag that proceeds to beat him.
That is terrifying.
That is terrifying. And when even more terrifying is that when he woke up, he would wake up with bruises and marks all over his body. When family stayed the night with him, so when he had like his, you know, brother or brother's wife, his sister or whatever come to stay over, they all had the same dream.
All in the same night?
Whenever they stayed. I don't know, it didn't really specify in the story like whether they all stayed one night all together or if it's any time any of them stayed over.
Because I will be honest, if it was all in the same night, I would kind of think, I would believe it more in a sense of, of everyone not knowing what the other was thinking about. But if I told you a story like, oh, I had this weird dream last night about, you know, ABC, and then two nights later you had the same dream about ABC, it could have been just in your subconscious. But
1, 2, 3, find out what it means to me. Anyways, then it turned out that his girlfriend, after he had given the box to her, had the same dream when she had the box.
Okay, so basically, whoever doesn't have the box is having these dreams?
No, who has the box, because when she had the box, she had the dream. Then when he gave it, when he had it at home and everybody stayed, I don't know, it didn't say whether they were all having this dream while they all had the box, like the sister and the brother, but when they stayed over at his house, they all definitely had the dream. But they didn't, none of them knew about the dream until they stayed at the house with him, with the box. Also, Manus and visitors began seeing shadow creatures in the house. He put the box in a storage unit outside. But then soon was alerted by the smoke alarm inside the unit. When he went out to investigate, there was no smoke, but there was a smell of cat urine.
Okay.
One night, he went online to, you know, check on the internet to find ways to research things about the box and what is there any way we can deal with the box. Fell asleep while researching the box, had the same nightmare, woke up at 4:30 a.m. to the feeling of someone breathing on his neck and the smell of jasmine flowers nearby, and then saw a shadow figure lurking down the hall.
Oh, God. Oh, I don't want to.
Finally, he put the box on eBay again, hoping someone who knew more about the paranormal would take it off his hands and know what to do with it. Enter June 2003, finally sold the box to a University of Missouri student named Losef Nitsky, who put the box back on sale 8 months later after he and his roommate suffered insomnia and illnesses in the presence of the cursed item.
Well, at least they didn't get back to the first guy, but he was happy.
They sold it for $280 to Jason Haxton.
Why is people spending so much for that box?
Because people like to have cursed things.
Oh, okay. Did you put it on a wall?
Jason Haxton, who claims that he also experienced welts and hives when he first had the box, also coughing up blood and choking. He also admits that he has seen strange lights and shadows in his house while he was in possession of the box. But He took a slightly more academic approach to the box, in which he enlisted help of scientists, paranormalists, Kabbalists, and Wiccans to put the box in a manageable state so he could keep it.
Why would you want to keep it?
Because he likes to have nice things, Leslie.
Okay, hold on. Oh, God, hold
so
on.
He believes...
I'm sweating so much right now because it's just like,
You're going to deal with it.
Oh my gosh, keep going.
So he believes the force contained within the box is neutral, but plays off of whoever comes into contact with it. Not really sure what that means exactly, but apparently it's a neutral force. Doesn't sound very neutral to me if it's making you cough up blood, but whatever.
Right.
So for a time, Haxton kept the box secure in an acacia wood ark lined with 24-karat gold and stored it stashed it in his den to keep it subdued. He does admit that now, after that, he did upgrade to a military-grade shockproof container buried somewhere well hidden that wouldn't be discovered by just some random person.
Better than just keeping it in your basement, I guess.
Right? Or hanging it up on a wall. And how we come to the end of the box's journey, Zach Baggins of Ghost Adventures ended up buying the box from Haxton and has it as part of his collection of paranormal objects in his haunted museum in Las Vegas. Now, Baggins will not let the public see the box. However, if you really, 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 really want to see it, he will make you sign a waiver that releases Baggins from any liability if anything happens while viewing the box or immediately after viewing the box.
I honestly can't blame the guy because there is a history and a lot of his stuff. I've listened to other podcasts. There's a really good one called, I think it's called Holly Weird Paranormal. And the host went on a ghost hunt and she was talking to a psychic during this ghost hunt. I think she was a psychic. I might be wrong and I apologize. But the psychic was talking about how the Baggins Museum, there's a lot of stuff there, and they have to go and clean it so much. Like, make sure to settle down. But then he goes out and buys more stuff and puts it in there, and it all starts up again. I've seen the show, and I really don't like the show. I mean, I've only seen probably like an episode or two, and one of them was about the divot box, and I forgot which guy he had come back in, and he put the guy in the divot box in like the basement, and he had cameras, and they were sitting there watching it. And I think the guy was like, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. Let me out. And they're like, something's happening. Let's just watch a little bit longer. I'm like, dude, the guy wants out. Just let him out. And then there was like, they did Robert the Doll, and they had like where one of his workers like looked at Robert and like screamed and run out. And I'm like, oh, come on. Like, these are real objects that people believe it has energies. And it could have energy. So let's be a little more respectful. And I'm not saying anything. Maybe he is trying to just put everything in a place where it's not out there. But then I've heard that he has, like, Sharon Tate's wedding dress or something of Sharon Tate's next to, like, Charles Manson stuff. So it's like, what are you doing, dude? Like, I don't know. And hey, whatever. It's your life. No judge. But I just can't imagine having this thing, you know, around. I'm not kidding. My palms are sweating because I've seen a story about this.
It doesn't have a lovely rocking.
Oh, God. I've read that story and I've seen that story. And there are really weird circumstances with objects. I mean, we all kid about my bookcase here being so old and haunted and stuff like that. But I do believe that there's certain things that have attached energies. And it's like, if you don't respect those attached energies,
they'll come get you.
Oh, yeah. And it's scary. I think that's one of the things that I won't mess with. Like, if someone says, oh, this is a haunted mirror, is a haunted doll, I'm like, I don't want to touch it. I don't want to be around it.
Oh, it's like when you go into houses or the haunted houses, and like you say, like people on these shows, and they're like, come out, spirits. Show us what you can do or something.
Oh, like, yeah. No, I'm not going to aggravate them. Like why am I doing that?
I've seen this movie before.
Yeah.
Usually the person who's the most boastful or whatever is the one that gets killed first.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, come on, Newton, slay your spirits.
But no.
Liquor spirits, that is.
But that story, though, the whole thing with divot boxes, and now is kind of a... You'll go on one of these shows, like the YouTube channels, and they'll be like, we're going to open a divot box. And, you know, some of it is BS. And then some of it is like you see, I forgot which channel it was, but I was watching a lot of those videos. And there was one guy who did it, and he just set up his camera. And as soon as he opened it, something fell off his wall. And I'm all like, you know, if he timed that, okay, it could be a hoax or maybe like that. But then he did, I think he just left his camera overnight, and then like stuff would move in the office, which was really weird. But it wasn't like, oh, it went flying. It was just like over, you know, 6 hours, like a chair would move out like 2 inches or something, which is to me so much scarier than stuff was like flying, because that means it's something like very subtle.
That something's taking its sweet time moving that chair.
Oh gosh. I love that story though. It's one of those stories where I want to be scared when I listen to that story, but then once it's done, I have to have all the lights on in the house.
Well, that was the Divic box.
Like, that was really good. I needed another creepy story before. I was not glad that I'm getting tired of ghosts, but we didn't really talk about it last week, and I know I don't think we had time showing you, but like the stories that we got from our listeners, they creeped me out. And then we got more stories. Like, people were telling me, like, oh, hey, I listened to your podcast, and hey, did I ever tell you this story? And I just, to the point where I was telling a friend of mine, like, I think I need to, like, step back and do something, like, besides ghosts, because I'm kind of getting, I'm keeping myself up at night right now.
Well, the funny thing is nobody decided, hey, you know what we should do with this divot box? Huh? Burn it.
Oh, no. I heard that's bad. I heard, like, if something with spirits, it's like, you can't burn it.
Yeah.
Because that's what the thing is like, it's a spirit attached to it.
Yeah.
So, whereas mine was a curse where, like...
One guy's like, you know what? I can't get rid of this thing. It can't be destroyed. I'm just going to put it in a military-grade shock-proof container.
I remember there was, like, a show called The Haunted Collector. And that one was pretty good. I liked watching...
Was the collector haunted, or was the objects...
No, he would go and get these objects that people didn't know what to do. And he would investigate what was happening in the house. So, like, you got this, like, ghost hunter thing where they would investigate it and they would watch the object. And then he said he would try to cleanse it, but then he was like, you know, if it doesn't work, would you let me take it? And people were like, yes, just take it. And so he had a room or a shed, or he has some building where when you saw it, and I don't know if he let cameras in there, but like, cause it always looked like the camera was in the doorway,
mm-hmm.
but he would have like the salt and cloth and like he would bind these objects. And then he would like lock up the shed and stuff. And I enjoy the show. I don't know what happened to it. It could have been one of those shows where like years later an article came out saying he faked it. But like the whole thing is, I enjoyed that show because he was really like, this is something that's haunted. I'll take it from you. Don't worry. We'll handle it. Where I feel like now I'm watching that Zach Bryan was one, and he's sitting in a chair like the chair that you're sitting in. And he's just sitting there like, and tell me what it is. And it's like, dude, you know what the story is. It's Robert the Doll.
We should just take all the cursed items that are in the world and put them in a gigantic iron box with all kinds of religious sigils like all over the box, inside the box, and then drop it down the Marianas Trench and it'll be lost forever and it'll never bother anybody again.
Oh, man.
Except for that chair. Nothing can be ever done about that chair.
Chair just keeps coming back.
It's a shame to get rid of such a fine chair.
What, now are we Scottish? Like Robert Carlyle?
I wasn't Scottish, I was totally British.
Well, you know, I just wanted to bring Robert Carlyle back, because, you know, that's a callback right there.
I don't know, I was thirsty, that's what that is. It's just
thirsty. Okay, should we take this home?
Let's take this home.
So our legendary listener shout-out this week is going to be to Bree and Ogden, Utah. Thank you so much for reaching out on Facebook. We really enjoyed reading different stories, different legends. I love learning about hometown legends. So that's actually a pretty cool hometown legend. I don't think I grew up with a cool legend like that. I think we just had like the haunted light or the haunted forest kind of thing.
And now we've had two people contact us on social media.
Well, okay, boom. Yes, on social media, but we've had people email us, and if you have legends you want us to talk about or legends you want to tell us about, or even your own personal experiences with cryptids, ghosts,
curses,
even if you say, hey, this happened to my family, it's a generation thing, send it to us.
Even if you say, like, I saw this cat and it was doing something really weird.
Dude, that cat scared me. It was just sitting there staring at me.
That's what cats do. That's all they do. It's just they're staring. You know what they are? They're just owls with fur.
True story. Anyway, send it to us at our Gmail account at podcastlegends@gmail.com. Again, that's podcastlegends, all one word, @gmail.com. Okay, take us home.
Well, this has been another exciting episode of Legends of the Dark. My name is Jay.
And I'm Leslie.
We are your purveyors of the paranormal and your curators of the cursed. Have a good night, everybody.
Night.